This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, all right.
We're doing our best here.
All right, okay. I just didn't know how that was going to work. We're doing our best. Kyle's in here with us, babysitting the board. And here's the way this is going to go down. Going to do a weird little couple-minute segment here, take another break, come back, and then the show should be back on track, I believe.
Oh, that's Ricky, right?
And with Ricky at 2:30, is that right?
Wait.
It's 1:30, guys.
Today.
Let's just quit. Seriously, I'm doing a new contract. Today. I haven't signed it.
Yeah.
Let's just get the hell out of here. Go work at the Cone Barn. So hopefully the Ghost Machine will be gone in the next couple of segments. We'll be back on track. Opening day.
That's pretty good.
It was really good.
Really good. I mean, aside from the delay, aside from everything starting later than everybody had hoped, I mean, it was an hour and a half of a delay. But
I have two things I didn't like. Everything else I loved. The delay, which, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, you can't control it.
But then one of my best friends in the world just got up and left.
Didn't say anything to anybody.
And didn't tell me that he was leaving. And so I was waiting around for him. I was there. It was after dark. I was worried about my friend Kevin.
Dave's there at like 8:30. Like, man, where's Wheels?
They're like, sir, you have to leave the stadium.
Yeah, so I texted him like, did you go somewhere? He's like, I'm at home.
Yeah, I did, because I thought in my head, I was like, oh, I texted him, right? Like, I told you guys.
Now you sound like my daughter.
So here's what I did. So like near the end of the rain delay, I was getting bored. So I decided to go downstairs and visit Matt Pauly.
Sure.
And on the elevator ride down, I turn around and everybody that's walking in the elevator with me is a red jacket.
Nice.
So it's Tony and Joe Torre and Jim Edmonds and Scott Rowland and Matt Holliday. And it was fun. Ozzy, like, they're all in there, and they're just talking. I'm just, like, I'm invisible in the back, just like, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then I get out, and I'm like, do I want to go back upstairs and all the way back there, or do I just want to go and watch the game on TV? And I decided I was going to do that. Caught the boss on the way out, talked to him, told him my elevator story, and then just kept on moving. And then you texted me later on, like, did you leave? I'm like, oh, crap, yeah, I did.
And he had just borrowed my credit card.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I know. Let's be honest. The rain screwed me up because I had planned to be home at a certain time.
Because the dogs.
Get the dogs out. My wife worked till 9 o'clock last night.
So who let the dogs out?
Woof, woof, woof.
I did.
You get so few opportunities to do that.
No, to use that? Yeah, it doesn't happen. So, like, that was the plan. And then, you know, the rain screwed that up. And I was kind of caught in between because I love doing that. And I thought, you know what? I spent time with the Red Jackets for like a minute and a half in the elevator.
Not going to get better than that.
Not going to get better than that.
Yeah. Did anyone say hi to you?
Yeah. They all, you know, some of them, they were not like buddies or anything like that. But I mean, they've all had a microphone in their face that I've been holding.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, they've all been like, yep, got to deal with this guy again. They try not to talk too much. Because
you got out
there,
probably like, this guy's yoked.
Well, they know if they talk to me too much, then it's going to be a long conversation.
Yeah, be several elevator rides.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DG, ASN 104.1 FM, KMOX. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's going on, Dave? How are you?
Good, buddy. What a great day yesterday. We all have it's why you go to opening day. You have your stories. Let me tell you how mine ended. I think you'll appreciate it. So I had a great time with my on-air friends and got to see you and Rooney, and just a really wonderful time. And I'm a leave early guy, right? But I didn't get home until 9 p.m. last night because I stayed for the whole game, unlike my friend Kevin Wheeler, and not to call him. them out. And then I went across the street with my good friend Michael Kelly to have dinner at Live at Lowe's. And as I was leaving, guess who's walking out with me, all by his lonesome, Ozzie Smith.
Oh,
no, no wow. Security, no nothing. And I'm like, Oz. He's like, Glove. I'm like, happy opening day, my friend. He's like, happy opening day to you. And I'm like, that just happened.
You know, I like to think somewhere Ozzy's telling this same story, and his ending that he loves is that he got to see you. I mean, I think it's probably happening somewhere.
He's probably doing that, but he's like, and then guess who I ran to? Friggin' Glover.
I can't get rid of this guy.
A little different tone.
I know he was following me.
Yeah. Clearly, you have more perseverance than wheels. I mean, I guess I just learned that.
Yeah.
You stayed till the end.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have two small old dogs that don't like rain delays.
I get it.
So, just overall impressions, Rick.
Oh, it was a great day. I mean, at one point I said on the air, this feels like Cardinal baseball today. And, you know, and I think if you know, you've been around Cardinal baseball for a long time, I feel like there's a lot of meaning in that, at least in terms of what I was trying to say, because, you know, sometimes it doesn't, and it hasn't for a while, and I feel like it was. Now, can that be sustained? I don't know. But what's Cardinal baseball? It's, you know, the game was fun. The team was fun. The in-park entertainment was really spot on. I mean, they've got some enhancements in terms of what they're going to show the fans in the ballpark. But, you know, the Clydesdales, and even though it was raining, it just didn't bother me at all. I just thought it was a great day.
And, you know, it's one game. You can't get sillier than trying to, you know, analyze one game and what right. it's going to be for the right. rest of it. But we know what it looks like when it works, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and actually, that's what Ollie said, exactly that at the end of the game. He said, this is what we envision it to, this is what we are aspiring for it to look like. This is what we think we can be. And, you know, they were that way yesterday, and he's not saying it's going to be that way every day. You know, actually, Sonny Gray said the same thing. Mm-hmm. He said, this is the kind of win with 26 players that we expect, that we're hoping to do, and it just happened to work that way. So, again, you don't want to make generalizations about it, but, you know, hey, it was fun while it lasted.
You know, and it's interesting too, Rick, that while you can't draw a conclusion about what it will be, it shows kind of the way that it's supposed to be, right? So what happened? We talked a lot about the top of the order. Well, three of the top four hitters in the order had multi-hit games, and two of them went deep. Like, this team is going to be about what those top four or five hitters do. If those guys are doing well, then you're going to score more than you did last year. And then it comes down to the health of the pitching staff and all of that. But I think it really starts with that group of dudes.
Yeah, and I think the starting pitching was not really a big question, although Sonny Gray kind of was, because he had a rough spring training. But the bullpen was kind of said, well, that's going to be good, and it was yesterday.
Yeah.
But honestly, the hitting stood out to me because the at-bats were great. And, you know, Alec Burleson had great at-bats and didn't really get much to show for. He did get a hit. But, you know, really, you go up and down that lineup, Jordan Walker had good at-bats. Mm-hmm. And so, and of course, Nootbaar kind of stole the show. But, I mean, that's the way that's the way they draw it up to look exactly like that.
And talk about Sonny for a second, because, you know, he talked at the end of spring about how the fastball's not there, the ball's just not popping out of his arm. I know we talked about this last week, so I guess we don't have to repeat all of that.
Yeah,
but talk about a veteran guy knowing how to figure out how to work around that, because his fastball didn't top 92 but one time yesterday, yet there he was, you know, five strong innings, striking out six.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think if you're a young guy, if you're 23 years old and you have the spring training that he had, and then you come in, you might be a little bit tentative, you might be lost, you might be confused, you might be unconfident. But, you know, Sonny's not an unconfident guy, and
no.
You know, you don't last this long in a game if you're that way. And so I think he trusted that he would figure it out. Actually, I thought, I mean, I had a different view of his fastball. And, you know, 92, I don't think he's going to go much higher than that. I mean, maybe 94, but, you know, spring training, he was 90. I mean, so he was better. I mean, that fastball had more life to it and more hop to it. I don't know if I can say I can accurately see spin rate in terms of is the fastball hopping or not, but it sure seemed to be hopping more than what we saw in the spring, and the breaking ball was better.
You know what's funny? I mean, I know this is a testament to the modern game, and this is just – I just looked at it on Baseball Savant while we were talking. So his fastest fastball was the 116th fastest pitch thrown yesterday. And by the way, that is less about him. You know, Pablo Lopez throws hard. Ryan Helsley throws hard. Griffin Jacks throws hard. So it's more about the other guys.
I wonder where Helsley is on that list.
Yeah, one, two, and three.
Yeah, he's throwing 102 cheese at the knees. You know, it's interesting. You know, I think 10 years from now, velocity of fastballs will be less of a conversation about how a pitcher is effective or not, because baseball is going to move in a direction of going back to pitching and not worrying about velocity so much. But, you know, you worry about velocity when you're not up to where you were, and I think that's what we're talking about with Sonny Gray. And so there's still some room for improvement, which is exactly what he said postgame.
Yeah, the game has to do what you're talking about, Rick. At this point, your guys are breaking down literally every month. You're losing five guys, not each team, but like big star players and good players. And we know it works, but that doesn't mean it's sustainable.
Yeah, and baseball's committed to fixing it. And I'm a little harsh on it, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the Players Association has been asleep at the switch on this one. I mean, they've been caring about catchers getting hurt at home plate and infielders getting hurt at the second base bag.
Good point.
But they should have been screaming from a mountaintop about pitching over the last 5 years, and they weren't doing it. So I feel like they were asleep on that.
Do we have more injuries than we did back when you were playing, Rick?
I saw the chart on it, Dave, and you would not believe how exponentially the graph looks. I mean, it goes sky high. I mean, it's like climbing Mount Everest when you look at the total number of injuries from 30 or 40 years ago. I'm talking about pitchers now. It is escalating in a huge way, and not just for Major League pitchers, but also for 12-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds and college students. I mean, it's really, I would almost say epidemic, but it's like bound to happen. You're going to have Tommy John if you pitch.
And in a simplified way, is it just that we are pushing the human body to its limit at this point?
Yeah, I think part of it is the pushing, and part of it is the extra bulk that people have, the strength that they have to throw harder, which does that support the ligaments and the tendons? You know, that there's questions about that. But it's also the fact that most pitchers throw maximum effort.
Yes.
And that's not really pitching, that's throwing.
Yeah, whenever you're looking at anything in athletics, if you're doing it at your max effort nonstop, you're probably going to run into trouble. So if you look at like world-class sprinters, for example, most of their training is not sprinting full speed. They're going to be doing lots of other things. You're going to do shorter burst drills. You're going to do some longer term running. You're going to do a lot of stretching and weightlifting and things. But
see,
they don't spend their whole day.
That must be why I was never world class.
Because all I did was go
100% every time.
So here, Dave. Since you're like a one or two handicap golfer, I think the great equivalent is, you know, do you hit the ball better when you swing harder?
Right.
It just doesn't work that way. There's a sweet spot to where you are actually having a controlled swing and a quick swing, but not over swinging. And that's the way pitchers are pitching. They're pitching and grunting. I mean, that's just too much max effort.
So do you guys envision some sort of a pinky lock and, okay, we're all going to start throwing 90% of what we know that we can? Or is it going to take some sort of changing the mound or changing the distance? Are we going to have to engineer the injuries out of it?
I think baseball thinks, and Wheels, you can chime in on this too, but I think baseball believes that they have to fix it with rules. And they're studying several rules, one of which would be to minimize the number of pitchers you could have on your staff. Instead of 13, you can only have 11. Maybe less options, so you're not going to be free to just have guys throw as hard as they can and then go get 10 other bodies from AAA and have them do the same thing. And that's, again, leads to the injuries, leads to, you know, pitchers having 3-year careers where you don't really get your payday.
Right.
And so, but I think there needs to be some option rules and some pitching staff rules. And, I'm not big on another one they're discussing about you lose your DH after 5 innings. I'm not big on that rule, but they might do that too.
Yeah, see, those are the only sensible rule changes, right? I've heard people talk about moving the mound back. They're just going to try to throw harder. I mean, they're not going to stop trying to throw hard because you do that. So I think there's two ways that this, and in addition to what Ricky just said, because what Ricky said is probably the first wave of things. But the second two things need to be, number one, Major League Baseball needs to stop paying velocity over other skills. Because what people provide, this is why hitters hit the way they do. This is why pitchers throw hard, because it's what get paid. You get drafted for velocity. You get paid big money when you throw hard and you strike people out. So if the incentives change, which is completely controlled by Major League Baseball's front offices.
For example, to what?
to like command or durability. If you start rewarding guys that can go 200 innings and they're the $35 million pitchers and not the guy that throws 150 innings and breaks down because he throws 102, if you incentivize a behavior, people will go for that. And then the second part is I really think that pitching development, the science side, is going to teach us what that sweet spot is, because they're doing all kinds of great biometric research. You know, they can they can test the stress levels on your body at every effort level, and they can teach guys eventually. This just takes time. Like, here's where you are at your best of both worlds, where you're throwing hard enough to be successful, but you're not putting yourself at risk.
Yeah.
Right.
So Greg Maddux used to say, "I throw every pitch at 92% of my maximum velocity." Now, he didn't do that with a calculator or a slide rule, probably
feel,
back then. But he just did that with feel. And my guess is that the numbers will come back and say something similar to that he just said, based on his own empirical evidence.
Ricky, have a great day off, and we will be listening to you tomorrow.
Yeah, great to chat with you guys.
All right, pal. See you. Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Thank you, Kyle. We appreciate it, buddy. Kyle's our engineer here at Odyssey, and we went off the air at the beginning of the show, some sort of a bug or ghost in the machine, and Kyle got us back on. But it was a Frasier episode.
Oh, my God.
We were literally running from one studio to another, getting set up in the studio. And by the way, you yelled at us.
Yeah.
You were mean.
I was trying to get my message across very quickly, and somebody, I'm not going to say which of the three of you it was, but one of you was screaming and laughing at the top of your lungs, and I felt like no one could hear me, and I was really I had an important message that I had to get across that everybody was waiting for me to say, and I needed one of you, again, not saying who, but I needed you to stop scream laughing.
It was funny.
We were like...
It was funny.
You were definitely pulling
a Ron Burgundy.
We were
in the other studio, and we were talking, thinking we were on the air. We did so much great content.
Oh, it was the best we've ever done.
I mean, we probably left two or three Merle Awards.
Oh, it's so sad.
On the cutting room floor.
They're just stuck there.
And then Andrew comes running in, and he's like, "You're not on the air! You bastards!"
I know. It was yelling at us to tell us we're not on. Like, just let us talk into the dead mics.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was that I needed to convey that we needed to move into a different room, and we
not
needed
the first
to do it
time.
Now.
Not the first time. That was the second time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were used to moving by then.
First time you yelled, we were still sitting there.
We were good at it.
It was a little bit of a Tropic Thunder moment.
All right.
Remember that? When Will Ferrell's losing in the locker room?
You won't help next time.
Everybody
just
needs
the producer of the show.
I won't help next time if I'm not wanted.
That
I'm not wanted.
That is my most hated argument move.
Yeah. It would be so hard to just be like, "Oh, yeah, I did. I was stressed. I yelled." Yeah. But instead...
I did not yell. I spoke loudly so everyone could hear me.
That's called yelling.
Yeah, that's...
I was going to say, Andrew, that's usually my defense, but it still means you're yelling.
This is speaking loudly. Yelling was yelling.
All right. Well, sorry. Sorry for...
He's already said he's not going to do it again.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell us. He's not going to help us. So it's fine.
sorry for trying to clearly communicate in a bad situation. Sorry for making sure everyone can hear me.
He just keeps doing
victim.
It.
He's the victim,
he just
guys.
Keeps stringing them together. I can't even do an impression of it. It's okay. I'm just the worst person in the world. Clearly, that's what it is. No one likes me, so I don't know why I'm even here. I'll just never help.
I'll just put a big blanket over my head like a bird at night going to sleep. You won't hear from me again.
Like a bird at night.
You're going to put a blanket over your cage.
I'm going to steal that one. I hope I get in an argument with someone.
Yeah.
I've not been in an argument with someone for... a really long time.
What if you drop that on Phoebe one day when you're arguing with her?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I'll just go away.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm just the worst dad in the world. So I guess what I'll do is just get into a birdcage and put a blanket on me to sleep.
I'll just go in the car and I'll throw a blanket over the window so I think it's nighttime and I'll just go to bed and you won't hear from me again.
You know, it'll come out like this. Oh, okay. I guess I'll just get a bird blanket.
Got her.
She'll be like, here's...
Got her good.
She'll be like, I think this means I won.
Then you start searching Amazon for bird blankets because it sounds nice.
Then I'll send her a $500 one. Hey, honey. Sorry, things got a little heated. I sent you a $500 bird blanket.
So I was researching bird blankets. Turns out they're pretty great. I think you might really like it.
It's called a bird blanket because I also sent you a $500 parrot.
It lives for 45 years.
Jeez. Jeez.
I think the show might be sounding normal from this moment forward. Fingers crossed. I think we figured out the music thing.
What have we been doing?
No, it was weird with the music. I don't want people to think that was me.
Gotcha.
That was the machine not working.
Can it start sounding normal?
From an
execution standpoint.
Okay, that's just great, Rage. I guess I'm just the worst host in the world. I guess I just won't say anything at all. I won't try to be funny ever again.
Well, I guess if it just sounds weird, you know.
Get in your cage, Dave.
Wouldn't want it to sound weird.
Put the blanket over you.
A bird blanket.
Actually, I would laugh so hard if he was walking around with a blanket over his head.
I just put a blanket. You see me on stream with a blanket over my head.
Making little bird trills.
You can tell my arms are folded and I'm pouting.
People are like, Andrew, what happened? He's like, I just tried to clearly communicate
and this is what they did to me. I just needed to let you guys know something very quickly.
My favorite was, I didn't yell. I just spoke in a really loud voice so that I get a point across.
It's okay to yell.
Yeah, it's okay to yell.
Well, yeah. I think yelling was probably appropriate in the moment.
I'm sorry, clock Wheeler, laughing. I'm sorry if it came off as mean. Here's the thing. I thought the situation was fixed, so I was trying to quickly communicate that it was fixed. The problem is then we got back in here and nothing still worked.
It didn't work.
So then I just screamed for nothing.
It was funny.
Then I yelled urgently, everybody has to go back in that room now.
Not gonna lie.
You did, and nothing still worked.
Let me be completely honest. I love doing this show. I never want to not do this show, but I was really rooting against Kyle. I mean, to go home on a Friday at 1:30? You kidding me?
Cancel the fish fry. I guess you can't do it today.
I kept making that joke to him when I would grab him, and he wasn't laughing. I was like, we're just going to take off.
Yeah, engineers don't have much of a sense of humor.
We're just going to take off.
When you're dead air.
Station is off the air.
I was laughing, I guess.
You were having the best time of your life.
It was hilarious, dude. It was like an I Love Lucy episode. It was like they were trying to fit all the chocolates in the box.
It was.
You were on the phone with our boss, Steve, like, check this out.
I was texting him, like, there's all kinds of crazy
hey,
crap
dude.
Going on.
Not going to believe this.
What's up, bro? Hey, buddy.
Steve, guess what? Andrew just screamed at us all.
No. That was just funny.
And then Steve sent us something like, oh, yeah, spots, play spots. And I go, what a jerk. I can't believe he's being a smartass like that. And then Wheeler's like, no, you read it wrong. He really wants us to play spots. I was like, oh, okay.
We don't have to make up content. You have to make up spots if you miss them.
He said like a weird emoji, and we were trying to figure out what
it was. It was like the Home Alone.
The
like
scream.
The side of the face thing.
I thought it was an emoji I didn't have.
So finding out you guys have a group text going on without me, that's awesome.
Well, great. Oh, that's fine. I guess I just won't ever text anyone again.
You guys and Steve.
No, I wasn't on it either. I saw it over Kevin's shoulder.
I'm
going to
throw my phone away right now. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it was a bro chain.